bulletin, you have an outline of the message. And we're not doing too badly for time, even though we've had lots of things this morning. You might recall that background. If you were attentive last week, we had the same background in as we talked about following the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, who became Jesus, a human being. And we said that the adjective that described him was the word Messiah. Is that it? Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Christos. Messiah. And he is God's anointed Saviour of the world. And then in chapter 2 of Matthew, as we go through Matthew's Gospel, in the first 12 verses, we've got this incredible story of the wise men. Now, it's not Christmas time, but we're preaching through Matthew's Gospel, and this is what it happens to be. And so I'd like us, please, to stand, and let's read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 2 together. I trust you can all see a screen. Let's read together. When Jesus was born in the village of Bethlehem in Judea, Herod was king. And during this time, some wise men came from the east to Jerusalem and said, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard about this, he was worried, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod brought together the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" And they told him, "He will be born in Bethlehem, just as the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem in the land of Judea, you are very important among the towns of Judea. From your town will come a leader who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel.'" Herod secretly called in the wise men and asked them when they had first seen the star. He told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, let me know. I want to go and worship him too." The wise men listened to what the king said and then left. And the star they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They were thrilled and excited to see the star. And when the men went into the house and saw the child with his Mary his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, and gave them to him. And later they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and they went back home another road. Would you just pray with me, please? Spirit of God, I pray that you'll help us today to understand what's really being said here. This is an ancient story from a long time ago, but I know, Lord, that you want to make it relevant to everyone sitting in this room in the next few minutes. So I invite you to come. Open our eyes, open our hearts and our ears, and Lord, take control of my mouth that I might speak your truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you need a pencil to fill in that outline that you've got, just slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. Yep, there's a few hands up. And Adrian will faithfully come. Now, we've just read a story of some wise men who were searching for the truth, who came and rejoiced in what they found, and who ultimately embraced the truth. And as people, I believe, look around at the collapse of materialism in our world, at the collapse of hedonism, at the emptiness of all the promises that are made on the ads in television, And I don't know about you, but I meet people. And I've been talking with SP this week, and he's had a number of Chinese scholars in his home the last couple of weeks. And so many of you who've come from China, when you first came here, you opened your hearts to us and you asked lots of questions. What's the meaning of life? We were told back in China that there's no God, that everything is based on evolution. But now we've come here, we've discovered that you people seem to follow God. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? What's the purpose of life? Is there actually a God? And if there is a God, does he really care about me? I mean, there's lots of questions that you and I have got about this God. And this morning, if you are here as a genuine seeker, I want to say that you've come to the right place. Because spiritual seekers here at Southside are in good company. And these wise men, they called wise men, in fact, they were the scholars of their day. They might have even been scientists. They studied the stars. And someone called them the original seekers. I don't know what's in your heart as you're here this morning, but if you are a seeker for truth, then you're in good place this morning. If you're genuinely seeking the answers to life, then God wants to meet you and show you those answers. And I believe this morning that if we would do the three things that the wise men did, God will meet you and answer the questions that you have. Now look at this, in verse 2. The first thing that the wise men, or the magi, or whatever we want to call them, the original seekers, these three kings, the first thing they did was looked for the truth. Let me say this. If you want to find God today, you will find Him. And you've heard me say this many, many times. Desire is at the bottom of everything. If I want a Mercedes, a brand new, biggest Mercedes-Benz car, I will get one eventually. It's desire that is absolutely critical. Now, there's a lot of people couldn't care less. But if you desire God this morning, I believe you've got to seek the truth. Now, there's a big difference between seekers and speculators. There's a lot of speculators in the world when it comes to truth. You know, well, I think God is like this, or my idea of God is this. And my idea is this, and your idea is that, so what? And I don't care what idea you have, it's not going to really affect me. We can still have a good relationship. But seekers are people who diligently search for the truth. They look for something that's based in reality. And that's what these wise men did. Let's just read it again in verse 2. After Jesus' birth, now by the way, when these wise men came, it was quite some time after the shepherds. Don't believe all those Christmas cards you see with the wise men and the shepherds all there together. It didn't happen. This is quite a time afterwards if you study the scriptures, and those of you who have done CTP have worked all that out. After Jesus' birth, the wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We observed his star rising and we have come to worship him." Now I want you to notice three things that these genuine seekers did. The first thing was, they were alert to what was happening in the world. They were looking for things around them. They were very, very wise. And they'd seen a star. And it was a very, very different star. In fact, all the evidence would be that no one else actually saw it. God just set it up and they saw the star. Now, the second thing they did was ask genuine, good questions. What does this mean? What's this star? Where's it going? Can we follow it? Is this a sign from God? So they were alert, they asked good questions, and finally they did whatever it took. I just love that phrase because you prayed it, Scott. Whatever it takes. They did whatever it took to find the truth. Are you a genuine seeker here this morning? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to find the answers to those questions I just put? Who am I? Where did I come from? Why on earth am I here? What's the purpose of life? Does God really care? Now, Jesus was born about 6 miles from Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the religious center of the world in that day. And all the religious heavies lived in Jerusalem. Helen and I have taken that trip from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It's not very far at all. But all these religious men were there in Jerusalem, and the Saviour of the world is born 4 or 5 miles away, and they didn't budge. but three Gentiles came on a journey of about 4 or 5 months in order to follow that sign that had been given them. I mean, that's serious commitment, isn't it, on the part of the wise men? So my question to you this morning is your commitment to find the truth that serious? Would you be willing to take the time? So many people say, oh, I want to know the truth, but actually they couldn't schedule into their diary time to do it. So are you a genuine seeker after truth this morning? You know, to spend your whole life and not really find out why you exist, to me, is a wasted life. To me, that is a total tragedy. And you might be here this morning and really deep down, when you're honest with yourself, you know deep in your heart you're unfulfilled. You ask that question, do I really matter? And then you go out there and you try a little bit harder and you're still unfulfilled, unsatisfied. And maybe some of you here this morning are actually a little bit confused about life itself. If you're like that, let me tell you what's happening. God is creating that lack of fulfillment in your heart. Because God, when He designed you, He designed what we call a God-shaped vacuum in your life. And until God Himself fills that vacuum, you will go on being unfulfilled. And your answers won't come. Now, many of you in this room this morning have had the joy of knowing what it is for God to fill that vacuum. And I know that's true by the way you were singing those beautiful songs earlier. It's true. So what are you searching for? Now, the good news is this, that while we are searching for God, God is searching for us. And that's what we talked about last week. The God-man who came from heaven. God Himself. The one who created you. This baby that these men ended up worshipping was the one who created you and me. Incredible. So God wants you. And in Jeremiah He says, when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. That's so wonderful. That's the promise that God has made. And that's the good news. God loves you. And God loves people who genuinely seek after Him, because God wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to know Him and He wants to know you. That's what it actually means to be a Christ follower. It's a relationship, not a religion. Hallelujah! Religion is the road that leads to what I'm going to preach about next Sunday. Hell! We're talking about a relationship with a person. You know that God is not interested in religion. He's not. Religion is man's attempt to find God. Christianity is God reaching down to find us. So God's interested in a relationship with you. Now I want you to grasp that fact this morning. And if you have grasped that fact, you're already on your way to finding the answers to those questions. Now the next thing the wise men did was this. They looked for the truth, but in verse 10 it says they experienced the joy. Enjoy the fact that God is looking for you. God wants to help you to get to know Him. Now listen to this. God, I believe, is going to give you a sign. He always does this. He gave that sign of a star to the wise men. And if you are a genuine seeker, He's going to give you a clue. He's going to give you a travel guide, if you like. It might be a person, it might be a book, it might be a movie that you've watched. You might have even found the Bible. I'm so happy that our good friend Adrian is part of the Gideons organisation. Have you heard of the Gideons? The Gideons are those people who take Bibles or New Testaments and put them in the hotels all around the world. Don't worry about my granddaughter. My wife will comfort her. And the Gideons put Bibles in schools. And many, many stories are told of people who found on a lonely night in some hotel when they were travelling on business, they found a Bible in the drawer. And that became a sign. Well, what's the sign in your life? As I said a moment ago, probably only the wise men saw the star. And God is so fantastic, He knows you so well, He'll give you a sign that only you will recognise. And every one of us who are believers in Jesus have had that guidance through the Holy Spirit, and we've all come, as we said earlier, to the foot of the cross. That's where God wants to bring us. And all throughout history, God has used different instruments to get people's attention. In the Old Testament, He took the people of Israel through the Red Sea, and He gave them a big pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud during the day. God has always done different or established different kinds of signs for people. In other words, God rewards genuine seekers. That's pretty exciting to me. If you're a genuine seeker, the God of the universe has something just that'll fit you. Think about that. Now, the chances are God has actually put a star in your life already. Maybe you haven't recognised it. It might be, as I said, a book that you've read. It might be a movie that you've watched on TV. I'm staggered over the years the number of people I've met who found Christ as their Saviour kneeling in front of a television set. Some weird preacher. And yet God uses His word. It might be a church. Many of you testify to the fact that God brought you to Southside, and here you found the answers to the questions that you've had for every all of your life. Maybe it's a believing parent. Maybe it's a neighbour. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a child. Remember how we preached some months ago about how a little child shall lead them? When we dedicated all those beautiful children, God has a star just for you. He brings people into our lives because He knows that we're genuinely seeking Him. I've told you many stories that I have firsthand heard from people, especially in the Muslim world, where God has been increasingly, over the last few years, giving signs to people in forms of a dream. And I'm not going to repeat all of those beautiful stories, but I could tell you dozens of stories this morning. Now, the interesting thing is that God brings a revelation of Jesus Christ into someone's heart or mind in the form of a vision and a dream. That person then is led to a person, usually, and that person opens the Word of God to them. Because ultimately, the star must lead you to the Word of God. The written word of God and the living word of God, Jesus Himself. So let me ask you again, what's the star in your life? Now, when you recognise the star in your life, there are three possible reactions, and the reactions are dealt with here in this passage. When God starts to just niggle at you, maybe God is trying to get hold of me, you can actually react like Herod did. How did Herod react? He was scared. He was afraid because he thought he'd lose his power. He even called all the scholars in and said, "What's going on here?" And they gave him an amazing thing. They quoted to him from the book of Micah that had been written 700 years before Jesus, and the prophets 700 years directly prophesied that Jesus would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. Now that ought to be enough for you to believe that the Bible is a wonderfully true book. That's only one of dozens and dozens and dozens of prophecies. Or you can react like the religious leaders. Absolutely indifferent, couldn't care less. We're going to stay right here in the religious centre. The Saviour of the world might be 5 miles away, but we're not budging, we're not moving. Or you can react like the wise men did and celebrate and follow the star and embrace him and find the joy of being led by God. In Matthew 2:10 it says, "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." The Greek actually means they were ecstatic. They jumped up and down. They were overwhelmed. Were you like that when you first met Jesus? Some of you were. I got some Hmong people in my class every week who were like that. In fact, we had a class. Jen Beth was there on Tuesday night. And that day, a family that none of them really knew called the elder of the Hmong church and said, "We want to become Christians. Can you help us come around to our place tonight?" So, of course, Johnny texts me, you know, "Can we put the class off? There's some people who want to become Christians." And I thought, "Well, what do I do here?" I said, "The Holy Spirit can work on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night." And then the people rang up and said, "We can't do it tonight. Can you come another night?" And then we're walking in the door here on Tuesday night, 7:15, and the phone rang again and they said, "No, can you come please?" So we had the class and 8 members of the class went off to this family. The next morning I got a text from Sal. "Hallelujah, what a beautiful day. We only had 3 hours sleep, but 6 more people are in God's kingdom." Hey, isn't that fantastic? So the Holy Spirit's at work. And God... these people, they've had a sign. I don't know what's brought them. But now, you know, in the Hmong, if mum and dad say we're going to follow Jesus, then all the children say, "We'll follow mum and dad." And now, over the next year, they don't know what they've let themselves in for, but they're going to do a lot of Bible studies and discover what they've actually done. And that's what's been happening with our friends up there. It's so wonderful. And they rejoiced. I don't think I've ever seen so many people so excited about Jesus as these guys upstairs. Hey, if you're a believer in Jesus this morning and there has been a star in your life that led you to faith, maybe it was a person, let me ask you something. Have you ever thanked that person? In 2 weeks' time in Manila, Helen and I will be leading the Leadership Matters course, and on one day we're going to do what we call a workshop, the Milestone Person. And it's always a very emotional time. We have all of these... we got people coming from Jordan, from the Logos Hope ship. There'll be people from everywhere. And for the first time in their lives, they'll be challenged to think about that person that was a star in their lives. Have you ever thanked them? And we actually have a little note, and they write a thank you note. Maybe the person that helped you so much has already passed away, already gone to heaven. Maybe you could write to the wife or the husband or even the children and tell them what that person meant to you. That person that God used as a star in your life to bring you to the Saviour. Listen, God loves you and God has a plan for your life. And he will actually use anything to get your attention. Now listen carefully. He will even use pain. He will use pain because he doesn't want to leave you wandering around hopeless without discovering the answer to life. I hope you don't have to go through pain. But most of us did, because we're proud. And God has to humble us. You know, we hear the scoffers say, Christianity's just a crutch. All you Christians do is lean on this crutch. Well, let me tell you, if my car is crook, I take it to a mechanic. And if my piano is out of tune, I take it to a piano tuner. And if my heart is broken and my soul is crushed, I need a saviour. And yes, he's my crutch. I'll lean on him until I see his face. And that's why so many people come limping to the cross. Because God has had to, in love, use pain to get their attention. Hey, you don't have to go through a painful process. You can just pick up the Bible and start reading and say, "Holy Spirit, show me Jesus." And he'll do it. I'm not saying there won't be any pain, but that's what will happen. Oh, time's going. Time's going. Let's just come quickly to the third one. In verse 11, they receive the gift. Thanks, Ken. Recognize who this baby is. As I said a moment ago, this baby was different from any other baby. I don't know how many babies were born in in the world that night that Jesus was born, but probably thousands. But he was different from every one of them. How could this baby be so powerful to divide history into AD and BC? That's how powerful he was. This is the one who was born that night, the Lord Jesus Christ that we spoke about last week. He was no mere baby. Hey, the Bible says he was God. God was in that manger. And these wise men came and they worshipped him. They fell down and worshipped him. Let me tell you, you won't discover God out there in nature. We've talked about this before. The Bible in Romans talks about the fact that God is all-powerful. We can see him in nature. We watch these incredible documentaries on the Geographic Channel and we're in awe of this world. Not everyone is in awe that God made this world. But I'm reading a book at the moment on China. It's called Boxing with Shadows, the story of a guy who lived in China teaching English for 2.5 years, 15 years ago. Fantastic story. Oh, what insights into Chinese culture. Michelle, it's helped me understand you a little bit more and where you've come from. But he talks about going out one day. He was up in the sort of, I don't know, where's the tropical parts of China? Hainan? Okay, so maybe he was in Hainan province and he's walking out through the jungle. He says, beautiful, everything's beautiful. But then he sort of talks about the fact that actually going on all around him in the jungle is this dog-eat-dog thing. And the animals are all chasing each other and eating each other. And this is the reality of the world we live in. I was sitting at my desk last night watching the geckos go up and down the window chasing moths, and then they grab one and the moth was flapping. And I mean, this is, you won't find God in nature. It's pretty horrible out there. Even those beautiful seals and porpoises that get eaten by the whales, you know, I don't know what's the top of the tree. You'll only find that God is loving when you look at the baby in the manger. You won't find that God is loving when you look out in nature. You'll discover a lot about him. His power, he loves variety and all of those sort of things. But when you look at that little baby and worship him, you discover God loves me. God left heaven and came as a little baby. He took on my flesh. He has demonstrated the fact that above everything else, he's given everything so that I can have a relationship with him. God is loving. But you have to receive this gift, like these wise men. Now, if I put a brand new BMW up here this morning, look at it. Can you see it? Chris, brand new BMW. You can have it. Okay? So everyone comes scrambling. But it's only the one who finally receives the key from me will get the BMW. You get the point? The wise men saw the star. They followed the star, searching for the truth. They found him and they rejoiced exceedingly. But ultimately they opened their luggage and they took out their gifts and they fell down and they worshipped him. They embraced him. I want to invite you this morning to recognize who Jesus really is and give you an opportunity to receive this gift that God is giving to you. I don't believe anyone is in this room this morning by accident. In fact, did you know that God saw you when you were being formed in your mother's womb? God saw your first heartbeat. And God has watched every one of your heartbeats, every single one of them, until this very moment. And here you are this morning and you're hearing a message about receiving him. Let me just ask again, what are you searching for? You say, I just want to be happy. I want to know the answer to life. You might say, well, I really want my kids to be safe. Others say, I just want to feel loved. But deep down, you're not sure what you're searching for. Other people say, I want to feel that life really counts and that what I'm doing every day is fulfilling and that I'm just not going to die at the end of it all and I'm gone and no one remembers me. I want to feel good about my life. Listen, beneath all of those desires is what I shared earlier, that God has put this God-shaped vacuum in your life, and listen to me, please, until God fills that vacuum, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never have the answers that you are seeking. Only God can fill the emptiness that is in the human heart. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with being a seeker. And we've had literally hundreds of them here at Southside over the last 12 years. The fact is, we all start out that way. Even though my mum and dad were Christians and took me to church 20 times every Sunday, I didn't know Jesus, and I had to become a seeker myself. At some point, we have to step across the line. We have to stop being a seeker and start being a believer. And I want to ask you this morning, are you ready to do that even today? These early wise men were Christ seekers, and when they left and went back home, they were Christ believers. They'd embraced the Lord Jesus. Their investigation turned into adoration, and they worshipped him. And who knows, I'm looking forward to meeting those scholars in heaven one day and find out what happened. Who knows, they went back to the east. I mean, my mind was running riot thinking about this. Maybe they were the first ones who brought the gospel to China. I don't know. How did the gospel get there? Well, actually, it got there earlier than that. Oh, who knows? What do you need to do next? You need to receive Jesus. Did you know that God doesn't have everything? That's a bit of a provocative statement, isn't it? He's all sufficient. What I mean is, God doesn't have your life unless you give it to him. God doesn't have your love unless you give it to him. God doesn't have your worship unless you give it to him. God doesn't have your service unless you offer it to him. God doesn't have your treasure and your talents and all the wonderful gifts that he's put into your life unless you give them to him. I really want to challenge you this morning. If you're here, perhaps for the first time, and maybe you're not ever going to be here again after this morning, I want to challenge you this morning to receive Christ today. This morning, he gave his life for you. Now give your life to him. I'm going to pray a prayer, and if you would like to express what I'm praying quietly, you don't have to do it out loud and be embarrassed, but if you'd like to know the answers to those questions of life, if you are a genuine seeker after the truth, I guarantee you, if you sincerely pray this prayer this morning, God will answer you and you'll meet him. Is that a big claim? Well, it's only on the basis of the Word of God. Let's pray together. And you just pray. Shut everybody else out around you. And as we close, just pray a simple prayer in your own heart. Something like this. Dear God, thank you for bringing me here today. I knew that something was missing from my life. I didn't realize it was you. Thank you for seeking me even when I ignored you. And today, I recognize that gift that you sent, the Lord Jesus. And I want to accept you into my life. Please forgive me for all the things that I've done wrong. I want to accept your gift of help for my present situation. And I want to accept your gift of eternal life for my future. And I want to follow you. I really want you to help me, Lord. I want you to lead me. And I want you to guide me, and I want you to use my life for your glory. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.